Yeah? Good week? Busy week? Horrible week? Terrible week? All the above week? This week's been a pretty crazy week, eh? We've started our First Hills Youth. Yay! Okay. Hills Youth! Yay! And the team, they did a massive job. They took all the kids out to bowling. Man, there's so many girls. There's like 16 girls and 4 guys. So I feel sorry for the boys, eh? So we need more males. So anyone have any male youth, send them to the youth way. Put your hand up, youth guys and girl. Yeah, that's the youth team. So if you have any youth, go send them their way. They would love to have them. This week, we also had our Hills Discipleship Godly Men's class. All the men? Yeah, amen. So I just want to encourage anyone and everybody who is a man in this place, if you haven't come to it, I encourage you to come to it. Real talk happens at this men's group. Real talk. I mean talk that is tapu when it comes to church. When they talk about things, they hide some stuff. We get to the nitty-gritty of life. And because God's called us to be godly men in our society. And also our women, godly women. Don't worry, I'm coming after you guys next. It's just an awesome week. And then this week, we're carrying on with hearing God's voice through Connect Groups. Everyone in Connect Group? I encourage every one of us to be a part of a Connect Group. So we have one at Tuatahi Centre this Thursday at 7 p.m. and 7 p.m. at Tuatahi Centre in Lower Hutt. So that's just a reminder, but also an encouragement from me from the front to say, get to a Connect Group. Amen. Get to a Connect Group. Why? Because we are people who get discipled so we can make disciples. Are you right? The greatest commission God gave us was to make disciples, but you can't make disciple if you ain't one. Hello? Amen. So I want to encourage us, be a part of Connect Group, be a part of the Godly Man series, be a part of anything that's happening in the house so it grows you, so that you can become the best version of you that God's called you to be. Because you're not called to be your neighbor, you're not called to be the person in the front of you, behind you, beside you, but God's called you for something significant. And so today, I've got a word that I pray that speaks to you. So it's kind of like carrying on from the last 3 weeks. So 2 Sundays ago was what? The dark room. How we took a physical thing that we do, photographers do, how they take a picture into a dark room and they develop a picture, how God also takes us to a dark room to develop us and hides us away for a particular time so he can expose us to the world. And then last week was about what? God-led decisions, making decisions that is God-led. Not feeling-led, not happiness-led, but God-led. And so I was asking God, what do you want us to, what do you want to say to your church today? And you can take it, whatever. But this, the title of my message today is called, Walk Worthy of the Call. I'm basing this around Ephesians chapter 4, 1 to 3. And Paul says this profound thing that he calls all Christians to be. He says to walk worthy of the call. And so I pray today as I unpack this morning, verses 1, 2, and 3, that you get some insight on what the word is saying, that it transforms your life. Amen. We're not a quiet church. Are we usually quiet? Can you say amen? Say something to me so I know you're participating. But let's just pray real quick. Father, we just thank you for your word. I pray that you speak to us, Holy Spirit, that you reveal to us what you want us to see and want us to grab. Father, we give you honor and glory for who you are and for what you're doing in us and through us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people say, amen. So walk worthy of the call. And so I want to base it out of the scripture, Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. I want to quickly read it for us so that we have some kind of basis for this morning. And it says this, Paul's saying this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If it doesn't make sense at the moment, don't worry about it. We'll unpack it in a minute. But I want to ask a question. Who got saved in the church? Three people, four people. Okay, who got saved by themselves in a room, somewhere alone? Yep. Who got saved at a conference or event? Who doesn't know where they got saved? See, I just wanted to ask because without us realizing or not, the moment that we called out to God to come into our life, that is the moment where our life started reflecting someone else's. And you might be going, oh, whose life are you reflecting? You're reflecting Jesus. The moment we called out and said, God, come into my life, come into my life, come and make me new. I'm broken, I need you. The moment we said to God and called out to him, our life started reflecting who Jesus is. Everything you say, do, not say, reflects on whom you have given your life to. Are we okay? And so with the scripture, Paul is urgently asking the people of God, this is Paul, asking the people of God to walk worthy of the calling to which you were called. And so we're going to start in verses. Actually, wait, before we go to that verse, let's go to Ephesians 2. I had to ask my question. I was like, okay, God, you tell us to walk worthy of the call. So what does it look like not to walk worthy of the call? Do you ever ask yourself questions when it comes to the Bible? Like, if God tells us to do something, I want to know what the opposite does. That's just how I think. And he actually reveals it in two chapters before. He says, in two chapters before, he reveals what living a life not worthy of the call. And it says this, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way. So the person with the mic right now used to live that way. Yay! Every person with a title in the church used to live that way because all of us used to live this way. I just want to make it known, okay? It's not just you, it's everybody. Following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. There's three things Paul is saying. That we used to live in sin, and that we used to obey the devil. Paul is also saying that you lived a life that followed your own fleshly desires, what I want, what I feel I want. And he also said that we used to be bound to sin, used to be bound to God's anger, used to, past tense. So your life before you said, God, come into my life, is a life where you represented the devil. Ah, that's pretty harsh. It's pretty harsh. If we weren't representing God in our life, God is saying that we represented the evil one. I think that's harsh, but that's the word of God. So our life used to represent the devil, but now our life represents the one who we called out to save us. And now we come to this urgent plea where Paul is giving the church. And let's go to Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, I need you to focus on every line and every word because it's so important. Therefore is a reason why therefore is there, okay? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you or urgently ask you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. We need to first ask ourselves, when we read this, like read this straight off the bat, we need to ask ourselves, why did Paul even mention that he was a prisoner? Do you see? Do you look at it? Can you see it? Why didn't he say, I beseech you to walk worthy of the call? Why did he have to point out that he was a prisoner? Think about it. You're like, you're reading that off the bat, and you're like, okay, cool. But what's the point of Paul telling us that he is a prisoner of the Lord? Think about it. It seems like a random thought, but in fact, it's actually a picture for you and I to see something that people overlook. People just like read, oh, I therefore a prisoner of the Lord. I beseech you to walk worthy of the call. People just like brush it over. But the call that Paul is asking us to walk is a call that put him into chains. Think for a moment. The call that Paul is asking and telling and urging the people of God to walk put him into prison. When you go to prison, what does it cost you? It costs you your life. It costs your freedom. Do you see? Do you see this picture? It costs you your family. It costs you your friends. It costs you your wants and your needs. Why? Because you're a prisoner. What Paul is telling us before he even tells us that we have to walk worthy of the call, he's saying, before you walk worthy of the call, I want to tell you it put me in prison. So it's going to cost you something. The call that Paul is urging the people of God to walk is a call that will cost us our life. The call that Paul is urging the people to walk will cost you some friends. We don't know, like, you don't know, like, Paul faced so much persecution and so many people walked away from him. That's why you see in the letters, like with Philippians and Colossians and all that, you see that he thanks the brethren for continue praying for him. Why? Because people have left him. The call Paul is urging the people to walk worthy of is a call that will cost us our freedom. What do I mean by our freedom? Our freedom meaning it's not about what we want, but what he wants. The call that Paul is urging the people to walk worthy of will cost you standing out and standing different. Are we okay? Like before even we walk this call that God is telling us to walk, Paul is telling us it's going to cost you. The call Paul is urging the people to walk worthy of will cost you to go against the norms. What culture says okay, God will say go the opposite way. I had a decision to make yesterday. This is a true story, decision to make yesterday. After I dropped my wife to her shoot that she had to do, I went back to the hut trying to find a barber, and I found a barber in the hut. I never knew this barber. It looked like the Kingsman. Have you ever watched the Kingsman? No. Okay. Yep. Okay. But I went to this barber, and he was amazing. This guy named Mo, and then he goes to me. He goes, Jordan, I've been searching and searching for the Lord. What the heck? How do I find him? He's cutting my hair. I'm like, God, what do you want me to say? I had two choices, to either speak the gospel to him or another choice where I just went with the norms and just hid away. From my conversation with this barber who was trying to find God, he was always told, oh, you got to get baptized to know God more. So he got baptized. And he said, I got baptized again because they told me if I want to know God more, I've got to get baptized a second time. I looked at him, I was like, where do you go? Like, this his mentality about just his relationship and this religion that he lives in. And I said to him, I was like, firstly, God doesn't want religion with you. He wants a relationship. A relationship like me and my brother or me and my sister or me and my friend. He wants that type of relationship. And he looked at me, he's like, so do you pray on your knees? I was like, never. I don't pray on my knees. Only if God really calls me to, but I don't pray on my knees. And he's like, so what kind of Christian are you? But I had to really examine myself in that moment. Do I tell him the truth, what the Word of God says about him? Or do I hold back and go with the norms and say, nah, believe what you want to believe, even though that belief will take him to hell? And you know what? Fist pumped me. He's like, it was great to meet you, Jordan. I was like, sweet bro, I'll be back next time. In my heart, I was like, I don't want to come back here. It's too expensive. But I'm willing to pay the price for this person to come to Jesus. It's wondrous how God works. But it cost us. It's easy for me to say, I work for Tuatahi Centre, and I'm an IT support, and I'm on the board, and just be just like the normal world. And then I had a conviction in my heart to go, tell them you're a pastor from a church in Wainuiomata. But I was like, no way. And then the conversation started. But I had to really count the cost, because if I'm really wanting to walk worthy of the call, I have to be open to the fact that I'm a son of the Most High God. There are people out there searching for a name, Jesus, or a God, Jesus, and they just don't know where to search, but you're the person that could change the trajectory of their life. And so when Paul is saying, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you, he's saying, you got to count the costs because it's going to cost you things. And it hurts. Like, to be honest, like, when I look at my wife and I's life, like, we're quite busy when it comes to life. And so we try to give our son as much attention as we can. But at the same time, like, sometimes it doesn't even feel enough. And the only reason why it doesn't feel enough, because I'm like, I could do more. But then at the same time, there's a cost to following Jesus at the same time. The cost of, like, sacrificing maybe a family moment so God can move in someone's life. It sucks, to be honest, but God's like, it's going to cost you. And so Paul is urging the people of God to walk worthy of the call, but it's going to cost you something. People think Christianity is free. They're not. Christianity is not free. It came at a cost. Jesus died for it. Oh, but Jesus gives, he freely gives his grace. Yes, he does, but that grace comes at a cost. He died on the cross for us so that we can have it for free. And so he says, I beseech you, I tell you people, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And then he carries on to go verse 1, sorry. Beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you were called. And so I was like, hey, God, what is the next thing you want me to ask? I say, what is our calling? So many people get caught up in their calling. Oh, I'm called to be a singer. I'm called to be an entrepreneur and all this other stuff. That's great. But what is the core calling for us as humankind? Why did God didn't just call me to be a pastor. There must be more than that. What a boring life just to be a pastor for the rest of my life. But God calls each and every one of us something. And I think I've got some slides, eh? We are called to be disciples and make disciples. Matthew 28:19. There's scripture to what I'm about to say to you. So we're called to be disciples and make disciples. That's not just on the pastor or the church, but that's on every one of us. When Jesus said, go therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he wasn't calling the teachers at the time or the pastors at the time, he was calling all of us. Go therefore, all of us, make disciples. What else are we called? We're called to live a holy and righteous life. What does holy mean? It means to be set apart, which means what? We've got to go against the norms. We've got to go against society and what the world says is normal to what God says is normal. 1 Peter 1:15-16. What else has he called us to do? There's so many scriptures, but I'm only bringing like 4 or 5. We are here to serve others just as Christ came to serve. Mark 10:45. Are we okay? So we're to make disciples and be disciples. We are to live in holy and righteous life. We are to serve others just as Christ came to serve. And I put this one, and I think it kind of encompasses all of it, is that we are to be ambassadors of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 20-21. What is an ambassador? Ambassador is one who represents somewhere else. God says that we're in this world, but we're not of this world, right? Because we're representing someone else, somewhere else. Who we're representing? We're representing the heavenly realms. So I think it kind of encompasses all of that to be ambassadors. So if you don't know what your calling is, and or if you're caught up to go, oh, I don't know what my calling is, I've been searching and searching, how about we just love others as Christ loved the church? How about we serve one another as Christ served? How about we just live holy and righteous life? And how about we just make disciples as God called us to do? We get so caught up in the bigness of our call, where the simple, where God wants us to be is to worship Him, to give our lives to Him, to surrender to Him, and to live this life for Him, bringing heaven to earth in all things. Sweeping the ground after church. Are you okay? Sweeping the ground after church? Helping with the food? Serving one another. And the thing with the core that God's called all of us is that it's all of our duties. It's not just my duty. It's not just Pastor Darren's duty. It's not just Fernando's duty, but it's all of our duty to make disciples and be a disciple, to live in a holy and righteous life, to love one another as Christ loved us, to serve one another as Christ served others, to be ambassadors of the Most High God. He's called all of us to be about it. Are you all right? So that means this call Paul is urging us to work worthy of, he is asking all of us to walk it. So we've got this picture of like, count the cost, everybody. Sweet. And he says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the call. Okay, what's the call? This is our call, to live a holy and righteous life, to be ambassadors, to love and serve one another. Cool. What's the next part? How do we walk worthy of the call? So we know that what our calling is, so how do we actually walk it? And that's in verse 2 in Ephesians 4. It says this, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. You know how I said before, look at like every line? I'm going to ask you to look at every line. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. This is so profound because when going over this at a cafe, like I love going to a cafe and just like having a laptop, listening to worship. It was so profound because when reading this verse, I realized what God was telling us, or the reason why He was telling us to walk worthy of the call. Because Paul's first main point here in verse 2 is to keep unity between the brethren. Look at this. It says, with all loneliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Paul's first point for us to walk a life worthy of the call is to keep the unity with the brethren. And I want to explain it more, but it blew my mind away on why God pushed this into the forefront. Because I don't know about you, but today we have so many opinions of what is right and what is wrong when it comes to the Word of God. Everyone agree? There's YouTube channels like dogging other churches, other pastors, because of their doctrinal thinking. And when I was thinking about it, I was like, why are we so caught up in doctrinal issues? Because that's what Pharisees did. Pharisees were caught up in doctrinal issues. When Jesus did something, they're like, hey, He can't do that on the Sabbath. Hey, He can't heal the sick. Hey. They were having trouble doctrinally. And so if Paul's issue to the church to walk worthy of the call is to keep the unity of believers, I started to realize that some believe or even act as if we only can have unity if we have the same doctrine. Can I say that again? People think, or churches believe, and pastors in my circle believe that we have to be doctrinally the same to have unity. But you know what? I love that we think differently because there's tension that takes place. Like when Darren thinks differently from me, he challenges my thought to think a little bit deeper. And so there's some belief that there's only unity if we have the same belief or doctrinal thinking. But the truth is everyone will have their own views when it comes to doctrine. But if we believe, listen to this, but if we believe that there is one Lord, listen to this, if we believe that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one spirit, one hope, one God and Father of all, we can have unity. If I were to sum all that, what I just said, one God, one faith, all this, I would say that Jesus is everything. And so Paul is addressing the people of God that we can't walk worthy of the call if first we don't have unity between believers. I put it like this: you can't be busy trying to impact the world with Jesus when first you don't have unity with each other. The church is really good at impacting the world, but no impact within the church. It's supposed to be the other way around. The impact's got to start with us before impact starts in the world. And so the community of believers is more than just the local church. It's the body of Christ. So it's not just Hills NZ. It's Hills NZ, the Methodist, the Gospel Church, the Nazarene Church, the Baptist Church, the Cooper Church, the Rise Church, the body of Christ. And so what Paul is saying there is that we can't have unity if we don't have lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, and bearing one another in love. And I want to put some meanings of all these so you guys kind of understand what it means. So lowliness, it means being humble in a manner of spirit, being humble. Don't be the Christian that always trying to be right. Yesterday, when I was having that conversation with Mo from the barbershop, I could have went the route of religion and try to like point out all the faults and sins in that. But God didn't need me to do that. He wanted me to address this thing with humbleness and spirit and manner. Just like, because he's like, "Oh, Jordan, do you mind us playing this devil music?" And it was just like, it was like techno in that, you know, like. And I looked at him, I was like, "Who told you that was devil music?" And he's like, "We've always been told that that's devil music." I was like, "I didn't believe that." I was like, "I like that music. I listen to it anyway, so it's all good." He's looking at me like, "Hey." And he's like, "Hey, why do you color your hair?" I was like, "Oh, because it just annoys people." It annoys the religiousness of people. Because no pastor would blonde their hair or dye their hair. It just annoys people. It takes the religious out. I'm like, So God's telling us to have lowliness, to be humble in manner or spirit. And then he's also asking us to be gentle. So gentleness involves treating others with kindness, compassion, and tenderness. What happened with Jesus when he came into when he came into town? Every time he came into town and saw people, what happened? He had compassion. I was having a good talk, like me and my wife caught up with our pastor here, Tongan pastor here in the Heart Valley, who's doing amazing work. And we were just having a talk, and I said to her, I was like, the church has lost its compassion for the world. We're quick to judge. Because if one of my brothers are doing it and judging the world, that's on me too. Because he and I are reflecting the same God. We believe the same, but he's just different. But we believe the same. And I believe the church needs to come back to this place of compassion. Because you know what happens when a place of compassion, when we create an environment of compassion, it opens the hearts of people. Because when Jesus, when he came into a crowd and he had compassion, his heart opened and many were healed because of compassion. I'll put it like this. If we're not compassionate in the world that we live in, you're going to stop the move of God because you don't want to be compassionate. Hello? If we don't go into our society and move with compassion in every environment that we go into, we could miss a move of God because we don't want to be compassionate. The next thing he tells us to do is have long suffering towards one another. It's being steadfast in the face of challenges. Hear that? In the face of challenges, disagreements. I don't know any church that doesn't disagree. But for some reason, when disagreements happen, they're like, oh, I'm not going to this church anymore because I disagree with you. It's silly. Absolutely silly. You're allowed to disagree with me. I'm allowed to disagree with you. But the one thing that keeps us together is Christ's blood. And so that's why Paul is urging us to walk this life worthy of the call, but it starts with us as the church. Why? Because we have to get it right here before we get it right out there. And so in the face of challenges, disagreements, or difficult circumstances, it allows space for growth, hear this, forgiveness, and reconciliation. Forgiveness and reconciliation. There are people in the top of my head that I can think of right now that have my forgiveness of what they did, but God's helping me reconcile. You've got to have long suffering for that. You know the person that you just dislike the most? Has anyone got the person? Don't want to forgive. Anyone? Think about that person right now. Just go, the person I'm never going to forgive, the person who did me dirty, did wrong to me, never, ever, 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 ever. God's saying, hey, have long suffering. Allow growth to happen within you so that forgiveness can happen and then reconciliation. It doesn't mean you're going to be best friends forever. It just means there's going to be reconciliation. Are we okay? What's the next one? He says, bear it with one another in love. To bear with one another is faults and weaknesses. Choosing to love rather than being right. You can use this in your marriage, guys. Choose to love rather than to be right. Husbands, wives, children, to the parents. Are you guys all right? That's a gem. That will save anyone's marriage. Right there. That will save anyone's marriage. Choosing to love rather than be right. Nah, about you. Gets you nowhere. Choosing to love rather than be right. And so it comes to this thought that I had is that how we act towards each other matters. How we act towards each other matters. How we talk to each other matters. And so we come to this point where he's like, I therefore a prisoner of the Lord. He's saying that count the cost of the call. And then we understand that this call that he's calling us to be or work worthy of is a call that God's saying to be a disciple, make disciples, to live a holy and righteous life, to be ambassadors. Cool. And then he's like, this is how you do it, with lowliness, with gentleness, with long-suffering, with loving one another. Then from that, Paul says something that the church doesn't do at this moment, but will do, will come into. He continues in verse 3, and he actually tells us how to maintain unity. Because it's one thing to have unity, but he's telling us to maintain unity. And let's go to verse 3 in this. And so verse 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know how I said before, look about on every line and every word? Look at every line and every word. Can we read this together? One, two, three. Endeavoring to what? Okay, let's say this again. Endeavoring to. He's telling us to endeavoring, like to always keep or maintain the unity. We have so many events in the Christian circle that happens trying to create unity. But God has already created unity through the blood of the Lamb. And so what he's telling us is that don't try create unity, but come to this one common ground, that one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He's coming to this point of like, don't worry about all this, but come to this one truth that we have to keep. It says to keep the unity. Everyone say keep. So, but we as Christians are trying to create unity when there's already unity for us to keep. And so I thought, what is that unity that God is trying, what is that unity to bring us together? I put it like this, that we have been joined together in Christ. That unity should be the first and only thing that we need. Oh, but you believe in speaking in tongues and I don't believe in speaking in tongues. Doesn't matter, that's doctrinal issue, it's all good. Don't worry about that. Do you love Jesus? Yeah. Do you believe that he died and rose again? Yep. Do you believe he's going to come back? Yep. Do you believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary? Yep. Okay, sweet. We believe the same thing. That's the unity. Your church claps. Your church has drums. Or your church has the synth. Or your church has a young pastor. There's all this thing that we try to create. We're like, God's like, stop trying to create unity with these doctrinal things, but keep the unity of faith. Maintain it through lowliness, long-suffering, etc., etc. So working worthy of the call is simply that, keeping this strong. Living worthy of the call first starts with us. It starts with his church. You guys all right? To walk worthy of the call first starts with me. First starts with you. It starts with his church. It starts with us living in unity and living in unity with each other in the body of Christ. And I put it like this. The reason God looks different to the world is because the church is disunified. That church says, oh, this is the right God. That church says, we're the right God. That church says, we're the right God. But we, at the end of the day, I tell you the truth, that we all believe the same thing. I put it down into this. When people go, oh, why is there so much, like, why is there Baptist and then AAG and Independent and all these other ones? And I try to explain to this very simple. I said, it's just a different way we do church. The Baptist church down there, that's like my oldies, and my Pākehā people. If someone's like looking for a old kind of style, Pākehā way, light music, I'll go, Pastor Royce, take these guys. They're amazing for you. Nazarene Church over there. Great. Te Reo Māori over there. If someone came here and looking for a Māori church, they want to sing Māori songs, we only do it like once so often. But if they really want to get into that place, go to Nazarene. Awesome. Amazing. Hey, you're not my people, I'm not yours, we're God's. So it doesn't matter what church they go to, if they go to church, it's fine. I see every type of church a different way of doing things. Different music style, different way of preaching, different way of community. Doesn't mean they're wrong, no. It's just different. But we can be so caught up in the differences that we forget that we just need one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Father of all, one Christ. That's what God's telling us to do. For us to walk worthy of the call is keeping and maintaining unity with one believers. Because as we maintain the unity with each other, the impact to the world, great. More than we could ever imagine, ask, or think of, the impact to the world is going to be amazing. Why? Because the unity of believers is maintained. Are we okay? I want to finish up. It starts with us. So 2 weeks ago was about the dark room. Last week is about being God-led and having God-led decisions. This time, this is for us as a corporate body, because those last two was on us individually. Today's teaching today is about us as the body of Christ, that we keep the unity of faith. I know, like us, like when for the men, for example, when we have our men's study, there's so much different views on ideas, right? Men, the men have just different views on how they see a verse. Doesn't mean they're wrong. No, it just means they see the verse that way. God's doing something in them. They've seen it from where they are at. Does that mean that there's no unity? No. There's unity because we believe in the Christ that saved each and every one of us. I love disagreements when it comes into a safe space like that. Why? Because it grows one another. The tension grows us. And so Paul is like saying, have long suffering with one another. Bear with one another. You know your neighbor? Your neighbor's going to let you down. Look to your neighbor to your left and right. They're going to let you down. It's okay. Why? Because we're human. We need each other. We need to love one another when we're down. We need to love one another when we're up. We need to love one another when they're not around. Like, you know, like there's people in my life that just come and go. I could choose to not love them, or I can just choose to love them when they're there. Pray for them when they're not by me, but I love them when they're near. It's okay. But I believe God's taking this church into a deeper level in Him. But it starts with us staying unified with one another. Coming together as saints of believers on a Sunday is more than a ritual thing. Like it's not ritual, it's not religion, it's important. It's an outworking of our love towards Jesus. Because we love Jesus, we come to the house of God. We don't come to the house of God because we're trying to find a girl or boy. Maybe. There may be someone here finding a girl or boy, but I don't know. But we come to the house of God because we want to experience Him, because we love Him. And out of that overflow, this gets strengthened. And now I need to ask this question. Like, so we started off with verse 1 all the way to verse 3. We talked about how the core that God's telling us to walk is going to cost us our freedom, cost us the being the norms, cost us by standing out. Cool. He's telling us to walk worthy of the call. What is our call? Our call is to live a holy, righteous life, to be ambassadors of Christ, to love one another as Christ loved us, to serve one another as Christ served us. All that. Okay, cool. How do we do that? We do that with lowliness. We do that with long suffering. We do that by bearing one another with love. That's cool. So am I walking this life worthy of the call? I want you to ask that question to yourself. Am I living this life worthy of the call? Or have I been so caught up with myself? Have I been so caught up with life? Have I been so caught up with doctrine that I missed it? If you have, that's okay. Why? Because reconciliation. Coming back into alignment, not with me, but with God. Coming back to alignment with God. If you're already doing that and living a life worthy of the call and walking this life worthy of the call, great, amazing, keep going. But if you're not, this is a chance to go, God, sorry I've been out of line, but I come into line with you today. And then just every day, go before God and go, God, I start this day in alignment with you, that I may walk worthy of the call. Imagine if each and every one of us in this room right now, under the sound of my voice, if we choose each day, I'm going to walk worthy of the call. I'm going to walk worthy of the call. Ah, the power of what God can do through us is amazing. The world needs the church. But the church needs Jesus. So when the church has Jesus, then the church can go into the world properly. I was having this convo with a friend this week, and she's becoming more bold in the university. She works in the university in Vic Uni, and she's like, oh yeah, I'm just praying a lot now. And God's doing amazing things through her in the sphere of all the stuff that's happened. She has everything thrown at her because it's in the university. But she's maintaining the faith, keeping the core. And she came to this conviction and like, Jordan, she's like, Jordan, Jamaica, the world needs the church. And I said to her, I was like, amen, the world needs the church. And then she goes further on, she goes, the world needs to recognize they need the church. I was like, yeah, they do. But they can't if there's disunity within the believers. When there's disunity, God can't command a blessing upon our lives. Where there is unity or where there is harmony, God brings a blessing. So there's blessing attached to us being unified as one unit. And so I want to give out a call to anyone in here with this question, are you living a life worthy of the call? And if you haven't, this is not to be like going, oh, boo, you haven't. No, this is like recognizing like, actually, I haven't, but I want to. And I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but all I'm going to ask you is to stand where you are and just go between you and God and go, God, I'm standing as a representation saying that I'm making a stand to walk worthy of the call. And so with every eye closed, so people don't get whakamā in here, if that's you this morning, you're like, man, yeah, I need to walk worthy of the call. I know I need to. I know I haven't. I want to align myself again with him. If that's you, can I ask you to just stand where you are? Don't be shy. If you are working worthy of the call, then that's fine. Stay and remain seated. But if you haven't, let's make that decision today. And make that decision with the knowing that it's going to cost you. Amen. I see you stand. Come on, church. I'm calling each and every one of us. Two amazing people standing up. Father, I pray for every person that's standing up and every person that wants to stand but feeling a bit shy and don't want to stand. Father, we're making a stand today that we align ourselves with you and what you want. We're counting the cost of what it means to walk this life with you and walk worthy of this call that you've called us to be in. And so, Father, we align our hearts to you this morning. We align our ways to you. And Lord, Father, I just pray that everything that is not of you in our lives be stripped away right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare right now just for a fresh pouring of your Spirit upon every individual that is making the stand this morning. And so, Father, we thank you for what you're about to do in their life and through their life. Father, we thank you for blessing. We thank you for favor. And we thank you, Lord, Father, that the best is yet to come. And God, we give you honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people say, amen, amen, amen.